You're listening to the 405 Exchange Podcast. My name is Ken Grandpierre, and today's episode is with Audrey. She's a young Korean-American artist who hails from New Jersey, and what's really cool is how she's crafting her own path so early. A few weeks back, I was sent her track Souffle, and I was immediately struck by the level of creativity, especially within the music video. You should really go check it out. What's really cool about Audrey is that she's not afraid of weirding her out, while also projecting this carefree attitude that only the new generation can tap into. And it's interesting. A lot of this talk delves into just that, the differences between our generations, me being a millennial and Audrey being of Gen Z. We also do a deep dive into the music that she's made, her creative process, and where she's aiming to go from here. So say hello to Audrey. This is the 405 Exchange with Audrey. Enjoy. Uppercut, clean them up, pretty much, done enough, pretty much, cool enough, give it up, live it up, uppercut, clean them up, pretty much, done enough, pretty much, big enough. So one of the things I knew I was excited about with getting to talk to you like this is knowing that there'll definitely be people listening who might not know who you are. So it's always helpful to kind of jump in from a little bit at the beginning. So yeah, when did music enter your life?
Honestly, I've been singing for a really long time, so I can't give you the exact year. I honestly think I grew up singing, but I've been writing my own music for probably the past 3 years now, and started really taking it seriously probably when I got to college. I did my freshman year at NYU, and I studied music industry, and I think I always knew that I wanted to do this, but it just suddenly became so real when I started studying it in school, and also it became even more real than that when I made the decision to leave school and kind of just focus on it. So, yeah, music's always been a part of my life. My parents, no one in my family does it, but I've just always loved it, and they've always been, luckily, super, super supportive. So, yeah.
Yeah. I know with like some friends of mine over the years who have gone to NYU, they always talk about how super intense it can feel, but they always say the same thing, that it's always a beautiful thing being in an environment where you recognize people around you want to do something similar.
Yeah.
Is it kind of like that for you?
Oh, totally. Like that. I think NYU was the first time where I realized that, damn, there's so many people in the world who are trying to do creative things, and it sounds so corny, but I really learned a lot about myself my first year. And I don't even think it was college. I think it was more living in the city and being in a city full of people who just don't give a fuck, like, wear whatever you want, and
yeah.
No one flinches if you, like, pee off the subway or what. I've literally seen that, and no one flinches. And I just think that environment of just acceptance, I don't even know if it's acceptance or indifference, but regardless, it has the same effect of, like, this really liberating, you know, state of mind. So it is intense, but
yeah.
I really enjoyed my year there.
I can definitely relate to that because I grew up partially in Rockland County, which is outside of the city.
Dude, my manager's from there.
No shit.
Yeah, he's from Orangeburg.
Oh my god.
That's where I record all my songs, dude.
Really? That's
yeah.
One of those things that
fucking
I'll,
nuts.
He probably can relate to this. I usually have to tell people Westchester, even though it's technically all, because no one knows where Rockland County is.
Uh-huh.
You just say it and people are like, what?
Yeah.
But I also grew up a little bit in London as well, but in the east of London, which it's really popping now, but back then it was like pretty much akin to the suburbs. Like,
oh, cool.
A big old Stratford.
So you're a suburbs boy.
Yeah, unfortunately.
So
yeah.
Am I. No shame.
Yeah.
No shame.
But I bring that up because it's like I moved here for college when I was 17, and it was that the same thing where I was like, wow, like being exposed to so many different types of people chasing their dreams, it really is an amazing thing. It also forces you to come out of your shell. I grew up like a really shy kid, and being in a place like this, it was like, wow, it really helps you interact with people and like talk about your creativity.
Yeah, hell yeah. I agree with that. I was actually shy growing up too, and I think, yeah, being in a place where people are hella rude to you, but you know they don't mean it.
Yeah,
it really just, you know, you get tougher skin and you just come out of your shell. I totally agree with you on that.
What suburbs did you grow up in?
I grew up in Manalapan, New Jersey.
Wow. Okay.
You ever heard of it?
Yeah, I have actually.
No way.
Yeah,
no
shit.
What?
Yeah,
you're like the third person in my life who's ever actually known where that is.
Yeah, shout out to my friend Kaya. She's from somewhere in like South Jersey. What times I've gone to visit her with some other friends. Yeah, it's just been like kind of inadvertently touring through New Jersey somehow. Like college years.
Got you.
So, yeah.
Sick.
That's pretty awesome.
That is.
I mean, along with your career, a big thing I want to start asking about is your music. I mean, there's so much I want to ask you about in that regard. And a big one is the first tune I heard of yours, which was Souffle. Mm-hmm. That also has a really great video for it.
Thank you.
It really kicks ass. And,
thanks.
There's something pleasantly surprising about this song. And I'd love to hear both about how the song and the video was made.
Yeah, sure. Pleasantly surprising. That's good to hear. The song was one of those that was just written in like 30 minutes. It's crazy.
Yeah.
I was just feeling really, I just moved out of my house for the first time, living by myself, eating a lot of like microwavable foods, feeling pretty shitty about myself. And those words, "so washed up," which is the hook of the song, kind of just had been swimming around in my head for a while. And I walked into the studio in Orangeburg, and Anwar, who I make a lot of the music with, was just playing this beat, the souffle beat, and it was just the total opposite of everything I was feeling. But for some reason, I felt like those words had to go on there, that track. So yeah, it was really crazy. He played it, I sang the hook almost instantaneously, and and I just wrote the rest of the song around the hook. So, yeah, that's how the song was made. The video was just, I kind of wanted to do something weird, and I wanted to do something that felt like, hey, this is me. This is an introduction to who I am, because I had done Party, which was kind of weird, but I kind of wanted to see what that would look like outdoors. So I worked with this guy, Maurice, and we wrote a treatment together. We shot in Chinatown, and we shot, I think we shot in Chinatown, and where else did we shoot? I think it was mostly New York. It was all New York. It happened in one day, and then I got my friend Andrew to edit the video. That was back when everything was very, like, DIY, and I still love that so much, just, like, getting your friend to do it, or, you know, finding some random person to be in the video. I love that, and I always want to keep that energy of just kind of DIY and whatever you see in your head, just make it happen by any means.
Because there's something really cool about that, where it's like when you're on a project like that and it's very touch and go in that DIY sense, it's like any idea that comes into your mind immediately, you could just do it right then and there.
Oh, totally. Yeah, there was a lot of stuff that we just tried on the day, and it actually made it into the final cut of the video. But both the song and the video felt very on the fly, and very just, it felt really good because it was honest and very in the moment. And I don't think it's always that way, but when it is, it feels awesome.
Well, that has to feel pretty liberating and validating from an artistic standpoint, when you could have us, like a, I don't want to say product, but you could have like a song and a video like that, and it could be so quick, but it could represent you so well. I mean, that must feel really great.
Totally. I think, I heard this quote. I think it was Miles Davis. He's like, it takes a long time to sound like yourself.
Yeah.
And I think that's really true. Like, you have to just go through a lot of bad songs and, like, shitty ideas. And then one day you're like, oh, shit. Like, the first thing that I do when I follow my instincts actually feels good. And those little moments are just kind of, I think they're a sign that you're going in the right direction. And you definitely have to work for those moments. And they kind of sneak up on you. But, yeah, that was a really gratifying project for me.
Yeah. Do you feel like that rings true for you too? Like, do you feel like you have like a bunch of old notebooks full of horrible songs you never want the world to see?
Oh yeah, man. My first song was trash. I don't even want to tell you about it. It was so bad.
Is it the type of trash where it's like, if I walked into the room, I would just pass out from the smell of it? Like that?
Yeah, that kind of thing. Like, someone died, the body's been there for like 7 days, you know. No one wants to clean it up, that kind of thing. Yeah, I wrote it when I was like 13, and it's just really hella corny. But yeah, you have to go through that, I think. And I would say that to anyone who's trying to do anything creative, is like, you have your taste and you know what you like, but it takes a long time for your skills to actually catch up to your taste. And I don't even think I'm there yet, honestly. So just gotta keep pushing it.
Yeah, I want to ask about another tune that also has a really great video. You brought it up, Party. You know, the thing that really got to me when I heard it for the first time, and I'm gonna fail at like articulating this, but I'm still gonna give it a go. But it's such a New York song. There's something about Party that reeks of like New York to me, and I feel like
that's really great.
Yeah, I feel like anyone can relate to it, but it does have like a specific New York DNA to it. You mentioned like how quick Soufflé came about, but with a song like Party, how much did it evolve from like what you envisioned to what we actually ended up hearing?
I actually found an old notebook with the original Party lyrics, and they were pretty different from what ended up being the song. So that was a case where there was a lot of editing, and there was a lot of honing and fine-tuning to get to what I wanted it to be. Yeah, Party was written over FaceTime, actually. I had the
over
beat.
FaceTime.
Yeah, I had the beat, and I had the idea for the melody, but I didn't think anything of it, honestly. It was just like, 'cause at that point, I was writing, like, 2 songs a day, so it was just kind of quick, and I, you know, FaceTimed my producer, and I showed him the idea out of many ideas, and he was like, oh wait, that is definitely something. I was like, really? Okay, let's look into this. So we kind of just, I just finished the song over FaceTime, and then we just recorded it the next day.
Wow.
Yeah, so I think that one was a little different from Soufflé. That one was more of a labor of love, but and I don't know if that shows in the final product. But yeah, it's all a process, and I'm so glad you said it's New York, because that was written the year I lived in New York, so I think that's really good to hear.
Yeah, that's awesome. And, you know, I kind of want to, like, touch a bit more on, like, the aspect this was partially recorded with, like, FaceTime, because I hear something like that, and I think to myself, like, wow, that's nuts. Like, I can't even imagine something like that. Like, wow. But I imagine for you, and while you were doing it, it just made the most sense. And, like, there's nothing outwardly about it. Would I be right thinking that?
Yeah, totally. I actually was talking to someone else about this today, but that is just such a 2019 thing.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's a 21st century creative process. But it's great. I think I feel really lucky to be born in a time where it's that accessible and that convenient. And yes, maybe it's a little bit saturated and everyone can make anything and put it out whenever they want. Maybe that's a lot, but also it's just this total, like, democratization of just who can have a platform. And I think that's incredible. That's, like, the most, I don't know. That's great to me. Isn't that amazing? Like, I think that's so cool.
Yeah, I think it is too. Especially when you think about how things used to be. Like, I'm one of those people that never understands when people lament how things used to be. Because when you think about how there used to be so many more gatekeepers and the barrier of entry was, like, so wide and so just hard. It's like the fact that someone could have a creative form of expression can put out into the world. That's something really dope about that.
Yeah, you can live in, like, the middle of Oklahoma, but if you really want to do something, then you can just write songs over FaceTime.
Yeah.
That's great news to me. I don't, I totally don't understand the lamenting over the past either.
Yeah.
But, you know, everyone's different.
Well, that's what's exciting about finding artists like you, because I feel like at the face of it, and I think a lot of it has to do with where you are in your life and how things are now, but I think an artist like you can't help but be so in your face with that type of thing, where I want to do something, I'm going to do it, you can't say anything. Like, I hear that so much within your music, and I love the fact that from talking to you, I could tell it's just like, there's not really a thought behind it. That's just who you are.
Yeah, totally. I try not to think, because not ever think, but I try not to overthink, really, because I've been there, and it's just a waste of time sometimes to just think about it too much. But I feel like you just need to trust yourself and trust that you're like a vessel. You're just being a vessel, and you don't have to think about it too much. You just have to work, and things start slowly happening.
Yeah, exactly. There's a great song you have called Empty Hands, and it's interesting with Soufflé. You have a song that feels like it could be in a club. Like, that's what Soufflé has the vibe of. But Empty Hands is, like, the type of songs I really love, where it's the songs you play, like, after the club. It's kind of the song you play, like, either when you drive home or when you're in the house by yourself.
Yeah.
Like, I really love those songs. And, yeah, can you tell me about some of the life experiences that inspired Empty Hands?
Yeah, dude, you have no idea how happy I am to hear that. Like, Empty Hands It's definitely, you know, one of those low-key faves of mine, too, and to hear that you appreciate it is so great. So thank you.
Yeah, of course.
And
thanks for
life experience, of course. Life experiences. I wrote that when I was still in high school. I think, I'm thinking about the lyrics right now. Oh, honestly, that song is just about me deciding that I really wanted to do this and pursue it. Because, like I said before, I always knew in my heart that I wanted to do it. But also, but objectively, I did really well in school. So I probably could have chosen any other career, and my family would have been really happy and comfortable with that. And but I decided to do this crazy thing that just doesn't make any sense at all to pursue, honestly. But that was just about the lyrics are Holy Immaculate, finally done with it. Holy Immaculate, finally doing shit. So it was just me getting congruent with my actual desires and deciding that, okay, this is what I want. And I'm just going to, like, instead of being paralyzed, I'm going to just take that leap. And it was at that time in high school where I started driving like an hour and a half every day to get to the studio and like record songs all day and then get home, do my physics homework, get it all wrong, and then go back into school. So that was just like the high school version of basically what I went through in college as well.
Yeah. That's awesome. You know what I hear within that song, and it makes so much sense to me within the context.
Yeah. That's so cool.
Yeah. Is that I think what makes like that experience really hard of like trying to make sense of your dreams and your pursuit to like parents or even anyone who might not get it is that when you think about a lot of other careers, and this is like no shade to other careers, but a lot of it is that there's a very clear path of you do ABC and then you'll get, you know, XYZ in return, and it's a very clear set. What's interesting with like a career in music and, you know, creativity and the arts in general, and I think this is what really causes the schism between people, is that to have a successful career, to like do really well, you actually have to be in a state of constantly figuring it out.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're trying to figure something out, you can't tell, like, you can't assure a parent or a friend or anyone that, hey, I know exactly what's going on, because it wouldn't make sense to.
Or that you're gonna figure it out.
Exactly, yeah. And when you think about it, that's like really weird.
That is really weird. I totally know what you're talking about. It's tough. It's like, you need to have people around you, or you don't need to, but it really helps to have people around you who kind of trust you, regardless of it's they trust that you're going to succeed or not. They just trust that you know if you're going to succeed or not. So I'm blessed enough to have a mother who drove me to voice lessons growing up and drove me to rehearsals and paid for my voice lessons and, you know, told me that I was doing a good job. I was really blessed to have that. So it made it a little bit easier, but still, yeah, pursuing something that you don't know if you can pursue or not, it is tough. But for me, I feel like I didn't have another choice, honestly. I felt like I was suffocating if I pursued anything else.
Yeah, I totally get what you're talking
about.
Yeah, well, that's it's paying off nicely, so it's great that you decided to go that path. You have another tune coming out called Time. I got to hear it, and it's a really beautifully slick tune.
Thank you. Beautifully what?
Yeah, beautifully slick.
Ah,
it's very
thank
slick.
You.
Yeah.
It's great
and
word.
This is one of those where the marriage between how you're singing it and the production level is, like, really dope. And, yeah, the singing especially, like, it's really fucking impressive. What was it like to make this one? Because I feel like the way you approached this was a bit different than some of the other stuff you've done.
Yeah, this one was also quick, actually. I had that I Just Need Time melody kind of stuck in my head for a really long time before it actually became a song. I had it in my voice notes, actually, for, I think, a year or something like that. But I kind of forgot about it. But one day I was listening to the beat, and that I just felt like there was, like you said, a marriage there. So put in the vocal, and it was just kind of built around that. It was built around that, and I think the reason it felt different, maybe it was the weather. I don't know. I remember it was really sunny that day, so maybe it was the weather. I don't know. I think I just do whatever feels right in that moment, And even though it was really different from everything I had done before, it just felt very right. So I finished the song in a day, and now it's coming out tomorrow night. I can't believe it.
Yeah, that's really sad. Yeah. When you say the weather, do you feel like the state of mind that the weather put you in probably found its way into the song? Like, if you mention a sunny day, I guess, you know, that aspect of feeling a little carefree, a little relaxed. Mm-hmm. Do you think that kind of went into it?
Yeah, I think it's everything. I think creating is so, like, the slightest variation in what happened that day could just bring a different song out of you. And that's the beauty of it. It's like, it's just this immortalizing of a moment in your day that maybe wouldn't have been significant otherwise, but you're just like, you're just kind of framing it into this picture that's, it's always going to be there.
Do you feel, I've talked to some musicians about this, and it's always interesting talking to a musician like you where it's still like relatively early days, at least in terms of like where things are going. Like, do you ever find that to be something that's hard to turn off, that aspect of like crystallizing moments? Or is it kind of like, what's the word I'm looking for? Like, kind of a subconscious action?
What do you mean? Like,
You know how you mentioned how it's very much capturing a moment and putting off in a song? Is it ever hard not to do that? Because I almost imagine sometimes it might be hard to, like, live within a moment if you're thinking about how you might be, you know, or maybe, you know, I think it's me overthinking it, actually, now that I'm actually saying it out loud.
Is it hard to live in the moment? Is that the question?
Yeah, essentially, yeah.
I think it's easiest when I'm making things. I think as a human, aside from that, sometimes it is very hard for me to live in the moment because I'm very ambitious and I like to think about the future. But when it comes to, if I hear sounds that I like, then it's very easy for me to just get caught up in that. So that's a blessing. It's like therapy.
That's fucking awesome. I like the fact that you used the word ambitious too. I feel like with what I've been seeing with your generation more and like artists like you is that there's this overtness towards ambition I feel has been kind of lacking in the last couple of years. And there's something really sick about that.
Overtness meaning like you feel like people aren't ambitious anymore?
Yeah, I feel people are more ambitious and more willing to talk about it. I think there was a period that went on for a while where people were definitely ambitious but not willing to be vocal about it. And I feel like what we're seeing a lot of now is like people going like, no, I want to be at the top or I want to do well and I'm not going to apologize for it.
Yeah.
And I feel like I get that from your music. Like,
that's really cool. Thanks. Yeah, I think that it maybe leaks into there. I'm definitely not trying to push that, like, oh, I'm super ambitious. Maybe that just leaks in naturally. But yeah, I definitely think we live in a time where everything is very out in the open, you know, and the internet has exposed a lot of maybe what was already there, but it's just exposed. So yeah, I agree with you. It's just, everything is very open now. And I think that's really cool.
Yeah.
Like I said, I really love the era that I live in. Don't really have any complaints.
I think that's sick because something that was very prominent when I was like in college and even a little bit after, and even in high school is that we'd kind of always talk amongst ourselves. I say it like it was so long ago, but we always used to talk amongst ourselves about time periods we would have preferred to be in and things like that.
Yeah.
And I feel like when I think about my sister and like some of my other sisters and like friends of mine or whatever, I just don't hear that as much. There's like something about being comfortable about being in the now that I feel is very significant to like you and, and your peers.
Totally. No, you nailed it. Like I would never choose to live in another era. I think this is such a great time.
Yeah. One of the things that stuck out with me about time is a lot with the instrumentation, how it feels like very jazzy and almost kind of R&B.
Yeah.
Like, do you remember, do you hear that too then? Like the vibe, like, man, like that's just really cool.
Yeah, I think a lot of the songs, even if it's not the most, you know, the most prominent part of it, a lot of the chords are inspired by jazz.
Really?
Yeah, definitely. I just love music. And I'm not saying that it has to be complex to be good, but I really do appreciate, you know, beautiful chords. And those are the sounds that inspire the most melody out of me, I think. More so than like a simple chord progression. I mean, sometimes, but it's weird. Complex chords inspire really simple melodies out of me, and I think the simpler a melody is sometimes the better.
Yeah, a little sick earlier, you brought up Miles Davis. When you think about like jazz legends, I think something that gets underscored a lot is how there's such an abundance of layering, but in very like organic sounds, where it's like you consider how the way a jazz band functions, and it's people coming in and out.
Mm-hmm.
Like the fact that they know how to do that, like just with their minds, like that's something really sick about them.
Yeah, it's just humans are crazy. The intuition there, there has to be some greater force, right? Like that is just nutty.
Yeah, it's awesome. I only have a couple more questions for you, but thanks for taking the time to chat. I'm glad we got to talk.
Yeah, of course.
I'm really curious to hear about how playing live shows have influenced how you've approached writing, because I mean, I'm more than sure you've done a handful of live shows already, and I wonder what it's been like to play a show and then go to write a song afterwards. Like, what's that been like for you?
It's been pretty natural. I think I'm kind of used to a lot of chaos and a lot going on at the same time, because I think the job kind of calls for it, especially in today's day and age where, you know, artists aren't just singing anymore, they're art directing, and I definitely want to be an artist who can direct her own videos and, you know, dip into other industries like the fashion industry. So the ability to have your head in a lot of different places at the same time, something that I'm continually just trying to strengthen. So yeah, live show one day and then the next day just record for hours, and that's totally fine. Like I haven't had a problem with that.
Yeah, I guess I meant it more actually from an artistic slant. Like I guess what I mean is like, do you feel like in some ways playing more live shows has changed different ways you might approach writing? Like trying something within a live setting that you might feel like, oh, I wonder how it'd be reproducing the sound in like a studio or like...
Yeah. Honestly, no. It hasn't changed the way I write so far. But I think that if I got the people I play with, my live band, in the studio, I think we could make some crazy stuff. I think that would change it more than anything, but the actual just doing live performances and then writing, that hasn't necessarily changed my process at all.
Yeah. Is that something you'd really like to do? That sounds like a no-brainer, bringing the live band into the studio.
Yeah, I think that'd be great. My band is insane. I'm so grateful for them.
Yeah.
And they're just incredible musicians, so it would be really cool to make shit with them. We should definitely do that once I have a moment to breathe.
Yeah, exactly.
And, you know, once the song, we push the song out of its womb.
How would you describe the feeling you get from playing live? Like, what is it like for you?
To be honest, I black out on stage. Like, I can't remember anything after.
You black
it's just
out on
so
stage.
So much adrenaline and so much, most of the time, so much joy.
Yeah.
And it's just a very emotional, like, emotional experience. So I usually just kind of, when I get off stage, I'm, like, exhausted. And but I'm exhausted, but I'm also on this high, so it's this weird balance, and dude, I don't know, it's something I can't really describe. It's weird. Have you ever like performed live? Do you do music at all?
No, I don't. I've toured with a couple acts. I've been fortunate to like be at a lot of shows and some sound checks and that. And one of the acts I've toured with a lot is this band Metric, and the singer Emily. She describes performing similar to how you did, and something that stuck out to me, she said, like, because of that, like, they'll play shows for, like, 90 minutes, 2 hours long, but there's times for her where it's, like, it'll feel like only a minute has passed between the start of a show to the end of a show,
mm-hmm.
because she's so blacked out.
It's weird. Time is just warped when you're up there.
Yeah.
Don't really know what it is. If
it's
I knew, I would
thing.
Try to explain it to you, but I maybe as I keep doing it, I'll understand it a little more.
Yeah. I think you did a good enough job of explaining it. I just wanted to ask you one more thing, and, you know, thanks again for chatting.
Of course. Yeah. Thank you.
Even though it's still early days, I wonder what you think, because you mentioned before about, like, how you were writing songs very early on and how you probably think those songs
they're
trash.
I don't think. I know. They're trash.
Well, I don't want to be the one to call your own songs trash. I'm going to let you do that.
No, go ahead.
But I'm so curious. I mean, it's kind of wild to even ask you a question like this because, again, it's still pretty early. But I wonder what you think the Audrey of then would think of the Audrey now, particularly in regards to these songs that you've made, like these songs that we've talked of. like Time, Empty Hands, and there's another one I didn't get to ask you about called Honey Pot, which is really dope.
Thank you.
I mean, what do you think the younger you would think about these songs?
Honestly, I think she would be hella confused. Like, who are you? I can't even articulate how much I feel like I've changed even since high school. Like I said, that year living in New York City was so formative for me. So I think that the past Audrey would be like, what is this? I don't think she would dislike it, but I think she would definitely be confused. But I think that's a really good thing. I'm proud to say that, that, you know, have definitely grown since then. And I mean, I definitely like who I am better than when I was in high school. I don't know if you feel the same way.
Massively.
Right? It's just, it just keeps getting better. And I think that's like, it's parallel to the work you make as your life and the person you are just continues to grow. Yeah, the shit gets weird and freaky. I think she'd be confused, but I think she would like it.
Do you kind of hope that, you know, going forward, like in the future, like say like 5 years in the future, do you kind of hope that's like if someone was to ask you the same question then you would almost have the same answer? Because that'd be kind of
sick. That's a great question. I think I'm a little more open-minded now than I was back then, so
yeah.
Maybe I wouldn't be so much like, oh, this is weird. But I definitely think I'd be like, what are you on? You know, that's my goal. I always want to just keep pushing that boundary for myself. You know, it's not even like an external pressure thing. It's more like, that's just what gets me going, you know? That's what excites me. Doing things that I'm not 100% sure of sometimes.
Yeah, I would say that's the best way to go about stuff like creativity. And Audrey, that's like it. That is, you did, I imagine this is like your first podcast or something, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, you got to the end of it. How do you feel?
I feel great. I'm so hungry right now.
I
was so scared. I was so scared that my stomach is going to start growling during this. But
have you ever been to Schnippers? There's a spot called Schnippers.
I've passed by it so many times.
Oh, it's so sick.
Is it good?
Yeah, they have some of the best.
Is it the big red one with the lobster? Is there a lobster picture next to it?
I think so. I'm sure there is. I actually don't know, but I think so. But they're dope.
Yeah, they have really cool tables and chairs in there.
Yeah, and their chicken sandwiches, if that's your type of thing, they're fucking huge.
Oh my god. How did you know I'm a chicken sandwich person?
Because I was hoping you were a sensible / awesome person.
Mm-hmm.
So there you go. Yeah, I should apologize for any vegetarians and vegans listening. It's okay.
It's not okay. No, I'm kidding. It's totally fine.
Dude, thanks so much for talking to me today.
Thank you. You're the best. Thanks. Give it up. Pretty much.